First, I would like to thank the Peter and Mu for inviting me to come here. And today is talking about mainly talking about smooth images from population studies. What? Now this is the motivation of my talk. Then we're talking about the different smoothing strategies. Then talking about the method we developed in the last 3 years. And also talking about simulations and the real data analysis. Nowadays in neuroscience, we are mainly interested in the two types of questions. One is basically called structural connectivity, just the different regions, whether they have some structure connections, like we have fiber tracks to connect them. Also, we are talking about different brain regions. They co-act together to finish some task. Okay, this is basically the connectivity is a big issue in if you do a neural image. And then nowadays we get a lot of new data sets. The study is getting bigger and bigger. Nowadays we have connected thousands of the subjects, and sometimes we follow longitudinally, sometimes we do twin studies, and we put all these, connecting all these kinds of tons of data. It's extremely high dimensional. And the data structure gets more complex. Okay, and you know, you have to know how to handle this kind of thing. And basically in practice, when you have the raw images, and usually they do three process key steps. The first one, you do imaging reconstruction, and it's sometimes you either denoise or just to estimate something you're interested. Second thing, you need to do the imaging registration, basically because the different subject have the different branch. Then basically you need to put a different you know, images to the same coordinate system. And another one is basically to image smoothing. After you put all the data in the same image coordinate system, another thing usually people do just to smooth the images, okay, for some purpose, okay. Then basically after you get all these smooth data, you put it in the statistical analysis. And one way people do is basically use R to read all the data inside and run whatever you want. Okay. And this is basically you can do in practice. Okay. And what is image smooth registration? And what is image registration? Something like this. Yep, sorry. Oh, what's my movie? And actually, you basically think about these MR images, and they have the different from different. From 10 different people, and basically you need to put all these images to register to same coordinate system by using the information you calculate from here. Okay, this actually is a very challenging statistical issue here, how to do registration, in particularly do population level registration. And what is one question? So perform the question is when you there's a ton of different registration algorithms. You know, you can download it and then just run it. And most commonly, I tell you, the key problem in this field is basically there's no evaluation tool. You don't know which registration algorithm gives you better results for the same data set. Because there's no kind of naive statistics you have to come to good with the field statistics. Now, it's not powerful, but it still can use in certain case. Then the fundamental issue we did is basically, we basically take the three group of patients, two group of patients and one group of normal controls. Then we basically tune the parameters. Essentially, this registration problem is the inverse problem. You have all of the tuning parameters inside. And basically, we adjust the one of the tuning parameters at a different level. Now you see the statistical results is basically the two group tests, together t-test. Then you see the significant levels. Basically, you tune alpha in a different range. Basically, you can see the significant voxels is basically change a lot across the range. Okay, that's the one of the concern we made. You know, people know that the problems. Everybody knows that, and then nobody has a solution to it. Okay, that's the issue. It's in the heart of the whole neuroscience. If you do image analysis, okay, and that's the problem. And basically, sometimes your finding is totally arbitrary because it depends on what kind of algorithm you use and what kind of parameter you set to do the image registration. Okay. Another thing is the imaging smoothing. Why do we do image smoothing? Now, Keith Wesley is, you know, always, most time he suggests doing image smoothing. That's another problem. There's three key reasons that people do image smoothing. One is the registration problem. Because you register, images are not well registered, and because I do the to correct the registration problem. Okay. The second one people do is basically you denoise the data, you know, the data. They increase the signal to noise ratio. Another one is basically if you apply the random field theory using you try to Gaussianize the data. And nowadays, you know, we know that it's not necessary to do using all these random field theory. There are tons of other methods to do. How to do it in practice? Most of the paper, you know, people in the neuroscience, they just do this simple 3D Gaussian kernel smoothing. Okay, if you read the paper from neuroscience, they're always doing this stuff. Okay, and this stuff is easy to do, you know, and everybody can do it. And this is an example in 1D cases. You're supposed to have these kinds of data, and basically you apply the Gaussian kernel to the data, then you're basically moving average across the one dimension, and basically you get a smooth the data like this. And if you do the 2D cases, like the 2D kernels, that are even easy, and basically you do it in one dimension and another dimension, you do it after you finish it, you get something imaging like this one. Okay? The original, you suppose the original image is something like this, you apply the data 2D kernel, then get something final data like this one. Okay? And this is how do the people do it. Okay? And you know, basically the one question is how to choose the kernel. Suppose you have the data like this one, you have all these active, suppose this red, the black dot is some activation and that's other things in the background. And if you convolve it with the circles, you get a data something like this, you know. And if you convolve it with the Gaussian convolution, you get something like this one. Okay, that's the, you know, essentially it's also statistics, right? And basically, what's the problem associated with it? That's how fundamental issues, I think people start to realize the problem with the smoothing. Now, first of all, smoothing, all these smoothing like Gaussian, a smoothing method is independent of data. You just smooth the data whatever you want. Then you find a result, then it looks nice, then I can report it, okay? And that's the most time that people do that way, okay? This is about the current science in the neuroscience. And the degree of smoothing is arbitrary. You know, I don't know how, you know, people have a regular, you know, I choose the three or line or whatever it is, and just set it that. And the effect of smoothness is profound. I give a simple example. We do the simulation studies. We put atrophy in a certain region, okay? If I don't smooth the data I obtain, I get no significance, okay? Then if I smooth my data, I get something like this, okay? This is the result from the smooth the results. That means, you know, because in this way, you smooth the data, you increase the signal to noise ratio, you get a better result. But in what degree in practice you smooth your data? Nobody knows it. Okay? You just do it in practice. Okay? And the relationship between the smoothness and study designs are known. Because sometimes if you smooth the data, what are you doing with your data? Essentially you're smoothing the mean structure of your data. Okay? But sometimes when you have a particular study design, you don't care about the mean structure anymore. You have to be very careful doing all this stuff. And in practice, how to do this smoothing? Suppose you're like asynchronous problem in statistics, like doing longitudinal, you have the individual have the curves, okay? Then basically there are two strategies. You can smooth the individual images independently, okay? Basically, you think about you have enough data, like images, you have enough data, you can smooth each individual independently. Another way to do it, you just smooth all the images simultaneously, okay? And I think most time in statistics, we try to do something like this. Okay, second approach. And basically, if you smooth individual images or curves, you assume the data, you have enough measurements. Okay, you can apply the smooth method to it. But essentially, in most cases, you only care about the mean structure. Okay, you smooth the data, you smooth the mean structure. But if you simultaneously smooth the data, you can do more than that. Okay, the one good thing, most times the people just independent of data, just do the smooth. And another thing is you can develop method is the data and a design a model-driven approach. Okay. And then we're talking about images. Okay, we go back to the question we have is how to do smoothing in practice. Okay, and what is the image? Okay, mathematically, let me see. Oh, I missed three pictures. Sorry. What is the image? This is the mathematical definition. Okay? And the mathematical image is the point or the set of points in a range corresponding a definite point in the domain of a given function. Okay? This is the 2D images, the tile. And essentially, if you plot a 3D plot, essentially get a picture like this one. Okay? This is essentially, this image is defined in a certain domain, usually it's a compact set. And there is a function f x, okay, it's a kind of take the values in M, and M usually is a depends the object. Could it be in the Euclidean space? Usually it's a subset of Euclidean space. And you could you have manifold data, then you're slightly different, but it's a subspace. Most time you put this function f. This function f is not a continuous function. Okay, it's basically you're allowed to have all these ages. Okay, that's very important for natural images. And most times you put it into like LK space. Okay, then sometimes you just choose L2 space. Okay, it's a function space that have a certain, you know, this the ages, all this stuff. Okay, and but in practice, you are not just to get the data, the F at all points. Essentially, you get digitized images. Okay, you always get the data at a grid point, and always have a certain rate. You also have to quantize because the fx is not a continuous actually in real images. And basically, in practice, one fundamental issue in image analysis is basically denoising, or sometimes it's related to imaging smoothing. Okay, essentially the model you can write in the 2D cases. This is the observed data, this is you know, the two images you are interested in is a noise at the inside. Okay, then you basically want to estimate the F. Okay? And basically there's a different tons of methods already developed for smoothing single images. Okay? And like you have filter method and wavelet based and variation method, you know, nonlinear diffusion or Bayesian like MIF. It's very popular. And this all this most stuff, you know, is very, you know, in particular now there's people do a penalized method, right? A penalized method is one of these standard methods people are using or not in image analysis. And that's a lot of issues, and you have to, when you apply all this method, you have to be aware of the noise distribution, the window size, and the localization and the tuning parameters, how to do that. Okay, there's the book about this kind of stuff. Okay. And this is to tell you this is the real images and how to smooth it. Okay, you want to get a better result. And if you, but in practice, you have to be very careful. Sometimes you just apply Gaussian type of smoothing techniques and low pass filters. Okay, what it is doing is basically take an average. Okay, at each pixel, I take an average of surrounding pixels. You see that it's supposed to have a raw image like this one, have all these edges. You apply to all these Gaussian type of the kernel, you get something like this. You blur all the edges from the data. And this is basically the, I copy from my friend's book. Essentially, this will tell you, you have the different, they compare the different methods, try to denoise the data. Okay. And this is basically, it's a commonly, it's a well-developed field. And in particularly, the data is in a Euclidean space. Okay. And the smoothing method, actually, in general, there's two type of major methods. One is called the features. Essentially, it depends on, it's using local information. Basically, when you try to incorporate surrounding pixels or voxels, basically, you're just weighted by distance. Okay, essentially like a kernel regression. And also, you non-local features. And basically, you're not a, only take account of spatial distance, also take account of the intensity differences, okay? This is basically called a feature-based approach. Another thing is estimation. To imagine smoothing, one thing is that sometimes you just re-estimate the signals at each pixel. Sometimes you just, you know, cluster the whole images into all the blocks. You do it simultaneously in each block, okay? This is sometimes you can do it, okay? Then you basically, in practice, just do all the kinds of combinations. There's hundreds of papers on this, how to do all this stuff, okay? Then this is one of the methods that I particularly like. I spent 1 year to study this method. It's developed by German statisticians. Essentially, the method is a propagation suppression method. Essentially, the idea is basically the developed method is kind of, this is the original data, then this is noise of the data. Then the key features are, they want to reconstruct the better result, something like this one, or something like this, okay? And the most important thing, you need to identify all this. They don't want to identify the boundaries, edges. They want to do automatically, okay? How to do it? The essential idea is basically increase the bandwidth. Right. Yeah, you can for wavelet is you're right, basically that's the your simulate basically your smooth single images. You can using the like a hard threshold or soft threshold or just using other pinnacle method to do it. Yeah, you can do it. No, I think the wavelet will have the advantage, will have a disadvantage. But I think that for wavelet, if you do some examples and like this kind of method, if you have the very strange of shape, the wavelet method doesn't work very well. Because the wavelet essentially, you're using small number of tuning parameters to control it. It doesn't work well. Yeah, it's work in some cases. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think that's the one of the big issues. And like this one, like this method, they also wanted to keep all the boundaries. They want not for this method, they don't want to detect it, but they want automatically to correct it, to keep the boundaries. That's the basically the features they wanted to use automatically in the imaging smoothing technique. The key point is that they do is basically they increase the boundaries from the very small bandwidth to bigger ones. When they do for a given bandwidth, basically they basically kind of, you think about it, just take an average, okay, your local mean or local median, then basically they adapt to do it. When they calculate the weights, they using spatial distance like a local polynomial, and in additionally, they calculate the distance. Basically, the estimate the values between one voxel and the surrounding voxel. Okay, if there's a big difference, like you're on the boundary, okay, when at the beginning you calculate values, okay, then you calculate the estimate. The second time when they construct the adapter weight, they calculate differences. Then in that case, they automatically do this smoothing. You can see the results reasonably well because they can keep the boundaries here. Yeah. That's the reason I spent a lot of time to understand this method. Okay, why I like this method? Because it's very flexible. Okay, because they can do a lot of other things besides like other methods. And all the methods have limitations, has strengths, but this method has some strengths. I'll tell you why. Okay. And what an underlying theory? And I think there's two major papers they published. It is related to this stuff. The essential ideas they play with is the extension family. Suppose you have the image data follow the extension family. The idea is basically they basically take the weighted likelihood. Okay, suppose the D is a voxel. The D prime is the surrounding voxels. The W is sometimes depends on spatial distance, also depends on the similarity of the estimator you did from the previous iteration. Okay. Then essentially, if you for the extension family, that's equivalent to your weight the response. Okay, that's the basically the smoothing image intensity. Actually, I don't like their theory because the theory is very difficult to do because when you do adaptively, the result is very become it's difficult to control. Okay, but their result is not that elegant. I don't really like their theory. I spent a lot of time to read it, but I find that they use a lot of extension family properties and they abuse that. Then they get something like this on a very strange assumption. And it's not practically useful to me. then there's something interesting to me. My motivation is I'm not interested really smoothing a single images. I'm interested in some images from multiple subjects or multiple images from a single subject. What they did is in the last 3 years, essentially ideas that they have this kind of model. It's a linear model. D is a voxel, and you have the observations in your YI, and basically ID load to a multiple subject or just multi-images from same subject, you have the linear model like this one. This linear model is quite useful in image analysis because many image data can be characterized like this, like functional images, DTI, or can be written like something like this one. Okay? Then they are interested in how to estimate the beta D. Okay? That's the basically my key motivation. Now we can do the wavelet. I show you I did apply the wavelet to do this stuff. Okay? And basically my question is, suppose you have images from multi-subject, okay? And how do you incorporate all these different design in the when you do the smoothing? Okay? A second issue is suppose your model have a parametric and non-parametric model. How do you do the smoothing? Okay? Then you can apply the other method and some to do the consistency as standard deviation as image. Because when you do the group inference, you need a standard deviation. Okay? And also you need a testing theory. The PS method, they don't have all this stuff. Okay? They have the weakness associated. And this is basically my goal is doing something like this. Suppose you have images from multiple subjects. Okay? And you have the D's at a single voxel, you have the finite dimension of parameter non-linear parameters, and basically you're convolved with some noise. My problem, my interest is first of all, I want to estimate all these finite dimensional non-parametric parameters at each voxel. Okay, then another thing is I wanted to estimate the correlation structures across all the voxels. Okay, that's something I'm interested in. Now, of course, you know, if you, I can apply the wavelet to this level. Okay. And that's the something we're generally interested. And how to do it? Well, that's the first method we developed, and it takes us 3 years to get published. You know, we fight with all these PS people. And basically, we integrated the parameter models with the PS method, and we developed a method to calculate standard deviation images. And also, we proved the consistency asymptotic distribution for this. And this is some notation, it's just the voxels or the data, okay? Then in practice, most of the standard method basically treat all the data independent. They essentially fit a kind of parametric model like this one, okay? And we have this MUM method is basically can decompose the data into different clusters, then basically to do the inference, okay? I tell you the key equations here. The key point is we want to identify homogeneous regions in the brain such that we can make an inference by using the data in each homogeneous region, okay? And basically what we did is basically we constructed this weighted likelihood. It's very similar to PS method, okay? And this the weight is a weighted function to characterize the similarity between the data in two different voxels, okay? And the R is basically is a kind of is a bandwidth, okay? In practice, basically, we use a lot of ideas borrowed from the PS. Essentially, we now, to allow this, basically, we draw the less data spheres, okay? Don't have to be a sphere. We can use other shape, okay? Basically, you increase from zero to R0, okay? In practice, I just do two iterations in practice. And then, basically, that's the key point. And you start with from the zero, essentially, you calculate standard like a least square estimator. You get all these the p-values and t-statistics. How do you get a parameter estimator? Then you can construct this weight, okay? Then you can, then using weighted likelihood, you can get a new estimate. You keep on doing, okay? And this is very flexible, okay? And easily you can combine this stuff with all the kinds of different parametric model you want, okay? And basically, the idea is you just start with the each voxel, you get all the parameter estimator. Then after you get the parameter estimator, then you draw a sphere or other shape. Then you can calculate all the weight in this, between this voxel and all the surrounding voxels. Then basically you update the results again, then you do the iteratively. Okay? That's the, what we are doing. And the essential ideas we recommend is basically learning voxel features and using local features adaptation and doing adaptive estimation and testing. Then you automatically need to stop to control the false positive. Okay? This is the, one of the slides. Essentially, I'm using TS method. The key point is you have this weight to basically spatial distance between two voxels. You have the second part, essentially control the differences between parameters in two different voxels. CN is kind of like a thresholding in the wavelet domain. You know, like log n, this kind of thresholding in the soft, soft thresholding, okay? This is basically the key point, okay? And actually, the original PS method is not consistent, but this method is consistent. Because you start with from the origin, the bandwidth from zero. It allows you to make a consistent result. You can calculate all this stuff by using weighted likelihood stuff. And basically, we basically have this asymptotic result. You can find in our papers. Okay. And this is basically the data, real data we have. And I need to jump very quickly. And this is the original. You don't smooth data, get something like this. And use our method of getting better results if you're using Gaussian kernel smoothing, get some weird results from this. And I just show you one more example. It's a twin data. Okay, it's a twin month. And essentially, we do is basically, what we're doing is something like this. You have all twin data and twin, and it goes through the images. You have the genetic effect. And this is usually the twin mom and the people are doing. So basically, you have this regression coefficient, all these kinds of genetic components inside. And basically, the key point is, there's two sets of structures, okay? One is mean structure, one is variance structure. But if you look at the original PS method, there are problems because you have all the parameters, you update all parameters together. But you think about it this way, all the parameters may have different patterns. You cannot really use this method in practice, in certain sense, okay? Then one question is basically, the mean and the variance of images, basic coefficients, may have different patterns, how they update it, okay? And basically, one way to do is basically you can, using the mean structures, just get rid of the variance structure. I don't care at the first place. I can basically get rid of the beta images by using the PMOM method. Then I basically, based on this one, I plug in here, I get, construct another regression model. I do it again, okay? And basically, this is basically is a two-stage amount, okay? This method will work because this mean structure and the variance structure is using Fisher geometries stuff because essentially they're orthogonal to each other, okay? And then one more slide, I show you one stuff, okay? This is estimate the mean structures. This is estimate the variance structures. Okay? And in practice, this is the result. It's very dangerous to using the Gaussian type of stuff to do the twin studies. Because if you think that this is the simulation result, I smooth the data, just Gaussian smooth the raw intensity images. Okay? And actually, you didn't detect any genetic effect in this stuff. Okay? Just because you smooth your data. And because you're getting better the mean structures, you destroy the variance structures. And basically, this is the signal to the images you are interested in. This is ground truth, okay? And basically, I show you the simulation results. This one is basically, this is our method. And this EM method, just a standard MLE. You didn't just smooth the data, raw data at all. And basically, if you smooth the raw data, you'll get, very larger bytes, okay? And you have all the similar patterns across, okay? And in terms of standard deviation, all my method is much better than the traditional way people do it. Actually, when I submit a paper to the New Image Literature Journal, one of the reviewers mentioned one of the paper he wrote, okay? I know this is the guy, very famous in the field. He told me that he published a conference paper just to show